Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2018. It's Friday, July 27th. It is 9:15 on the East Coast time, where my co-host is back from Latrobe for a second day. He DM'd me earlier in the day, says, Dave, I don't think they're going to get practice in. Lo and behold, they got practice in. Alex, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Dave. I am hopefully a decent blogger, but a terrible meteorologist. It looked like there was bad weather coming, but hardly anything at St. Vincent today. I promised myself I would eat better. I've eaten a piece of bread, some chips, and a cookie, so we're not off to a good start there. Someone's already called Terrell Edmunds a bust, and someone said that they're going to regret taking James Washington. So we're hitting the Steelers bingo of training camp today. My goodness.
Where have these people been all offseason? You know, do they not watch or read or any of the things that we post on? Look, if we thought somebody was a bust, we'd tell them. We told everybody that who was the kid out of Louisville, Gerard Holloman. We told everybody that guy'd be a bust. We don't have any problems calling a spade, but look, I mean, Washington, I know a lot about. Edmunds, obviously, I've done research on him, but not to the degree that I have on Rudolph and James Washington and obviously Jalen Samuels as well. But all right, day two in the books. I guess we should start with a little bit of housekeeping first. There were no transactions first thing this morning, and that was a good sign for one Parker Collins, right? As soon as we didn't see a move there, you had, of course, reported yesterday, you and Tim, that Collins was carted off late in practice with some sort of, you thought they were looking at it, at one of his knees. Mike Tomlin did not mention that during his press conference. Lo and behold, it looked like, or at least you reported that Collins was back out there today. So good news there. But there was one key guy that did not practice today. That is starting strong safety Morgan Burnett. And Mike Tomlin said after practice that was because of hamstring tightness. Mike Tomlin came off as saying we're being overly cautious with him. Look, either he can practice or he can't, right? So he did not work. And working in his place was rookie first-round draft pick Terrell Edmunds. So that should bring everybody, I think, up to speed. I forgot to check the transaction wire. I will do that while you start to talk here and give your overall thoughts on maybe, you know, what happened leading up to the practice.
It was a good day. I thought the defense won the day. They won 7-5-2. They created some turnovers. Keith Kelsey got a pick. L.J. Fort forced a fumble he recovered. A couple, you know, incompletions on some contested plays from guys like Brian Allen and Cam Sutton. I mean, the offense got a couple plays in there later in practice, but I think if you had to pick who won the day, and I mean, that's a little meaningless, but if you made me choose, I think the defense had a better day than the offense.
All right, I just pulled up transaction sheet from the NFL today. Trey Johnson did clear waiver. As expected, he reverted back to the Steelers' reserve injured list from waived injured, and he does not count against the 90-man roster at this point. You assume that he had a split salary, and we will see in the next, 5 days whether or not they reach an injury settlement with him or not. So that happened. We thought that might happen, and that's where we stand with him. Getting right in after it, we promised the people we try to get these done in about 30 minutes moving forward. Let's start with offensive line. I have not read your report all the way through. I was halfway through it when we started to connect up here. Any difference in the offensive line groups, and anything stick out with you?
Nope, the same the whole way across. Parker Collins, like we said, is back. He participated in team practice full as well, so he avoided really any sort of injury, so that's great to see there. The tackle struggled. Guys like Joseph Cheek and even Villanueva got beat by Dupree, which is a good rep for Dupree. Adenye had a nice day. We'll get to that with the defensive side, but I thought the tackles as a whole, I think the backers kind of beat him today. One guy that did impress, at least on one rep, was one of the, I think it was actually the last rep of practice, Larson Graham, the third team right guard, a local kid from Duquesne, had a nice drive block. So just one play doesn't mean a whole lot, but that did catch my attention.
Morris, have you been able to focus any on Morris the last couple of days?
It's tough. As a center, you're kind of right in the thick of things. Once they go O-line, D-line tomorrow, at least I expect them to go O-line, D-line tomorrow when they're in pads, which I cannot wait for them to get in pads and for the real action to start. Maybe you get a better idea, but he's just still running third-team center.
Okay. Anything else stick out with that group then?
Not much. Filer did take some snaps in warm-ups when the players first came down. Did not see him work any center and anything beyond that, but he's taking some reps and he's ready in case he has to do it.
Do you think we're going to see him get any tackle work during the preseason or probably not?
I think you need to get him a little bit of work because he might have to play there, at some point. So, that's not going to be his main focus, but at least at right tackle, get a little bit of reps there. Because when was the last time he played tackle? It's probably been a while, so I think you want to kind of knock off the rust there if the situation came to it. So it'll be interesting, though, because you could see center, you could argue tackle, basically argue everything, but maybe not left tackle he could play. So it's something to watch.
Yeah, he should be able to play at least four of the spots on the offensive line, you mm-hmm. would think. Obviously, he could probably give you some snaps at left tackle, but let's hope we never have to see anything like that happen. That'd be a bad sign, obviously, if you have to get that far into what he can do. Where do you want to go now? You want to go running backs, tight ends? Which direction?
With the running backs, again, not a whole lot to talk about. Tomlin's liking how James Conner finishes his runs. He said it several times already in two practices, including at least once today, just liking how he finishes the rep and, not loafing at the end of a run and taking an extra 20 yards to sprint downfield. Again, he looks in good shape. He's catching the ball, I think, cleaner and looks a bit more comfortable than where he was at last year. So that was cool to see. And then just from a formation, again, kind of some of the new things that Randy Feitner might do. Saw one snap of pistol today. Now, Haley has run pistol in camp before, but I've talked about many times that maybe this year we get a little bit more pistol from Feitner than we did under Haley. And then I saw some pony, at least one snap today where you had Steven Ridley and Jalen Samuels in a split back and shotgun formation where they're both on the field. So maybe something you're going to see a little of in the preseason, perhaps in the regular season as well, if guys impress.
You saw me perk up a little bit when you tweeted that out, didn't you?
Did you tweet? I honestly didn't.
I retweeted that and add a little something on to that there. Yeah, we don't see a lot. I think we saw with D'Angelo Williams a couple of times. They do that, and I think go back to 2000 and
Redmond and Isaac Redmond didn't do some pony stuff.
Yeah, you have to go back a little ways before that before we saw really. More than just a couple of times. Maybe Dree Archer and Dwyer? I forget. But
Archer, I barely consider Archer a running back,
Right. But it was definitely something that, we're not going to see a lot of it even if we see it. But, the problem is you have two running backs like that on the field. Somebody's off the field.
Yeah, but if that's a tight end, maybe that's okay. If Washington doesn't develop, I don't know. It goes back to the mantra yesterday, flexibility options. You can get Bell in the slot more. If Samuels wants to play in the slot, you can have Bell in the backfield. It's just, that's if guys impress. Guys have to earn that job and that opportunity, but I think it's something to keep an eye on.
All right, tight ends. Vance McDonald, early impression, I guess, in the seven shots against Edmonds, had a touchdown. What else stuck out about that position group?
That's probably the highlight of it. Not too much else going on elsewhere. But McDonald's had a nice 2 days. Ben's talked him up, making some combative catches. Again, splitting guys out. McDonald in that touchdown in seven shots was split out wide to the bottom right by himself. You're seeing some heavier personnel where you're getting a tight end split out and someone else staying as the inline guy. So not a whole lot to report there. But, just to kind of fall back on what we discussed yesterday, Vance McDonald, I think, if he stays healthy, it's going to be poised for a really successful season. And I think what Ben even talked about, him being a potential number two, number three receiver in this offense, which I know it's just words, but that's got to carry some weight.
People are going to start thinking that's his first name.
What's that?
If he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy. Yeah, that's funny.
I'm excited about him. I have been for a while. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. It's this season or never for him. And how long have we talked about tight ends, you know, since Heath Miller, retired? I mean, Ladarius Green, there was a one-game flash with him, right?
The Giants game, I think.
Yeah, whatever one that was. And then obviously really the one game flash in the playoffs against Jacksonville last year for Vance McDonald. I mean, we see what kind of danger or how potent good tight ends around the league can make the rest of the offense go. You know, I mean, just think with these weapons that the Steelers have right now, assuming everybody stays healthy, that they teams really have to worry about a tight end, you know, what he does, you know, splitting them out wide or whatnot. I mean, that's something we, you know, you, I, David Todd, a lot of us have been talking about since Heath left, you know, and we still haven't seen it yet.
And that touchdown in seven shots is a perfect example, because if you have McDonald split out, how does the defense respond to that? Well, they have to either walk a linebacker out, which eliminates a guy in the box, and, you know, can that linebacker cover? If he can't, you might be in trouble. Or what the Steelers did today was roll the safety Edmonds to him. So now you're playing single high safety, simplifies your coverage, puts that safety in a corner position, something he's not comfortable in. Again, you're creating that mismatch. It's a big opportunity. Vance McDonald is going to be the number one tight end week one, and if he stays healthy, again, that's his name. he's going to be the number one guy this year. I mean, Jesse and Grimble will play, but McDonald's going to be the guy, and he can produce at a high level in this offense.
What personnel grouping were they using on that? Do you remember?
On the McDonald touchdown? I think it might have been 12. I can try to pull it up super quick here if I can find it. Yes, it was 12 personnel. Grimble had his hand down as the wide tight end. McDonald split out to the bottom, wide right.
That's some detail for you, brother, right there. I can pull
up. Not
going
to get that elsewhere.
I know. I tell you, I ask you what personnel grouping and formation on a seven shots play, and you can rattle it off like that. That's impressive, brother. Okay, wide receiver. Sounds like that group had a good day.
Yeah, I mean, it was. They got off to a slower start. They ended on a higher note. Again, I think the defense won the day, but just James Washington, just even watching him on air, you know, in warmups, just the catch radius, the strong hands, his ability to make some tougher combative catches, you can kind of see the shades of getting some comparisons to Juju. Now, hopefully he's a little more explosive downfield than what Juju's been, and Washington had a big catch down the right sideline for like a 40-yard gain, getting away from Cam Sutton. So you saw a flash there. But, you know, you're seeing why Washington got drafted in the second round and how highly touted he's been. There's been some problems and, you know, some bad plays remain and some stuff you want to clean up. But you're seeing those flashes. So that's good to see. Marcus Starker a little up and down, still trying to work on the details, get on the same page with Ben. A lot of instruction from Ben to his receivers, kind of a de facto assistant offensive coordinator. And then I kind of went all Rain Man at the end of practice here. I'm going to try to do this throughout the rest of the camp, try to count how many catches AB has after practice. We know his work ethic. We know the standard he sets. On the jugs machine today, he spent maybe 15 minutes there, caught 129 passes. Like 50 of them were one-handed because he has Brian Allen hold his hand so he can't, you know, reach with two hands, has to do a one-handed catch. So 129 catches for the best receiver in football. That's work ethic.
Definitely 129 catches.
There you go.
That guy worked. Did you say that catch he made today that's circling the internets right now? Just, I mean, how do you defend that? I mean, I know there's no hitting. You could probably get a good pop on him right there. But, I mean, those kind of things, I mean, second day of training camp, and you just wish you could bottle that kind of stuff right there. I mean, just unbelievable kind of over-the-shoulder one-handed catch. And he sounded like he were letting them know about it, too.
Yeah, well, he'll be the first to let you know about it. It's just uncoverable. I mean, it was great coverage on the play. I saw the video, and Tim Rice has a great slot, kind of four frames of it that kind of sum it up. It's just uncoverable.
I'm starting to get this sinking feeling that Justin Hunter is going to make it again.
Well, it's the first 2 days, and the first 2 days last year, everyone said he looked good, which he kind of did. It wasn't as good as people said, but, I mean, they like his skill set. It's a unique blend. You know, I'm not crazy about it, but, yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible.
And, geez, I mean, I mean, if they do, it's going to be probably six kept, right? And that's kind of what we've been thinking might be the number, you know, and we'll see what happens. I guess we should have said Eli Rogers is still on active PUP in the early part of the housekeeping. I'm sure people should already assume that unless we tell you otherwise. Rogers is going to be on the active PUP list at least, you know, probably another week, I would think, maybe longer. Some people are already speculating, well, they're going to keep him on PUP, and that's where he's going to start the season. I would be surprised if that happens. I mean,
yeah, he's been running pretty good. That's not football, but I think he's going to get back before then. I hope.
Now obviously once he starts practicing, if he comes off that PUP, he can't go back on PUP. So surely they didn't sign him to carry him all training camp on PUP just to you know, because if he starts on reserve PUP, he's got to miss the first 6 weeks of the season on top of it. So
don't they have to put him on the initial 53 too?
If he's on active PUP, he can go straight to reserve. Okay. He can go straight to reserve PUP.
Okay, gotcha. My bad.
So you know that's now. You know, what you're talking about is IR and being eligible for return. Those players have to be on the 53-man roster and then prior to the first game move to IR to be eligible for return. And you remember I wrote during the offseason earlier about the new rules of IR. If a player was to suffer a season-ending injury right now and they didn't want to have him eligible to return, then they could just move him right now directly to injured reserve. Okay. And that's one thing that they couldn't do previously without having to have player clear waivers. So, gotcha. So that's a little bit recapping that right there. Okay, I think we've hit the offensive side of football. Let's go over to the defensive side. Did you hear my talk with David Todd about track down those stat? You know, it's like what 40? What I put 40.5, I think, percent of the total defensive snaps over the last 2 years included Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt on the field at the same time. I did some show preparation for us as well, too. I know that's not allowed. what was it? What did I write? Seven or eight sacks of Cam's last year came with Tuitt on the field. And all three of Tuitt's sacks came with Cam on the field, you know. I thought that was a little bit interesting stat as well, too. You know, the long and short of what David and I talked about is, boy, these two, it'd be nice to have these guys on the field and together playing about, 65 to 75% of the total snaps. Now, with that said, I assume both those guys are doing fine. What's going on behind them?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a little tough to tell. I think it'll be a clearer picture when the pads come on tomorrow. It sounds like there's some praise for Dan McCullers and him holding the point of attack, still running second team nose tackle. So I don't want to go all Matthew Markstein and say stock up for Dan McCullers, but I mean it's as good of a start as I would have expected coming into camp.
What's going to happen to us if Justin Hunter and Daniel McCullers both make the 53 and it's not injury related?
I'm going to just walk away. Just
holy
call it a day.
You want to talk about being wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that would, holy moly. We'll see, though. You able to get a good look at Frazier or Gilmore or who's it? The kid out of Penn State, Cawthorn?
Mm-hmm. Frazier's running third team nose tackle. Again, I don't have a great evaluation. Gilmore's running real far behind. He's like fourth team nickel / nose tackle, so it's tough. Rim Cawthorn's in the same boat. The third team D line left to right is Casey Sales, Frazier, and then LaVon Hook. So anyone beyond that is really fighting for snaps.
Okay, I got you. Anything else about that group?
Nope, nothing there. We didn't touch on quarterback. Do you want to hit on that?
Oh,
real quick,
yeah. And it was Landry Jones that delivered that pass to AB, right? At least I think that's what Tim put a picture up on Twitter. Do you remember?
Yes, Landry.
Okay, I forgot. Man, I was so enthralled with watching the actual catch itself. I didn't even look who the quarterback was. I do know it was Cody Sensabaugh and Malik Golden, I think, in coverage were the two defensive backs on that play against AB there. Quarterbacks. I mean, Ben is Ben. No sense. I mean, we're not going to spend a lot of time, hopefully, talking about Ben this training camp. So, Landry, Mason, Dobbs.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say real quick was just I thought Rudolph got more reps today. I don't have a number on it yet. I'll figure that out sometime later tonight. And I thought he had a better day overall, showing some chemistry and connection with James Washington. So still some miscues and sometimes where the internal clock didn't go off and you kind of thought the play was over and coaches said keep it going. But I just thought Rudolph had a better day and got a higher volume of snaps than yesterday.
Does he seem like he's comfortable command calling play? You know, obviously they're probably working off cards a lot, right? Or no?
Yeah, I think I haven't paid attention to it too much. I mean, I think they also just talked. I mean, Fietner's standing right there, so I think he just communicated verbally. And so, I don't know if you can hear it. There's fireworks going off behind me on July 27th for some reason, so hopefully people can't hear that. But anyway, I think his command's good. They're getting in and out of the huddle quickly. There's not been, you know, they haven't had to reset the huddle where, Fietner calls him back because something didn't get communicated correctly. I think he's even doing some hard count and some cadence kind of work. So for a rookie, I think he's in a good place.
All right. Dobbs, anything stick out with him?
Not too much. Yeah, the only thing with quarterbacks I wanted to know today was just to kind of get that note on Rudolph because I know I said yesterday he was really not doing much, and I just want to give a fair shake and say what happened today. And there's a train, so I'm gonna you talk now.
Let's see. I guess we'll go from defensive line to the outside linebackers. You already talked about Bud Dupree having it, and look, anytime Bud Dupree's on the practice field, we need to give him a gold star. So we need to make sure to praise him. And this is 2 days in a row, and I think you tweeted out and wrote in your notes that he had a nice dip on Alejandro Villanueva from that side. So kudos to him there. What's going on with the rest of the group?
Yeah, I thought it was a good day for the edge rushers. I thought they got the best of the tackles. TJ Watt beat Gilbert once. Chicolo had a good pressure and had a nice zone drop where he undercut an out route to Damon Patterson and tipped it, knocked it away. Adenier did a couple nice things as a pass rusher, showing kind of that leverage because he's James Harrison looking and he gets under some of these taller tackles. So, yeah, I thought just overall the entire edge group did well today.
Adams, anything on Keon?
He was in there for one run stuff. He got in free. Again, I haven't gotten a great feel for all these guys, but still running the second team, left outside linebacker opposite of Chicolo.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. All right. Let's see. Leslie still getting, kind of sticking out a little bit there at inside linebacker, right?
Yeah, a little summer fling with Darnell Leslie right now. I mean, the guy that could make the practice squad, he's looking good. He's looking like an athlete, someone flying around as a pass rusher. You know, those pass rush skills he had at Monmouth and did well in Dallas last year caught some eye. So, again, this is a name to keep in the back of your mind. Still Matakevich getting the majority of the reps, so they're kind of mixing and matching. To answer your question yesterday, or answer, I guess, whatever you read, you know, it hasn't been perfect where it's in nickel, it's Williams and Bostic, and in base, it's Williams and Matakevich. Matakevich was out there with Williams today. In nickel, Bostic was doing it in base. So I don't think it's been that cut that cleanly. They did a lot of mixing and matching today, so it's hard to say exactly where that's at. But I will say Matakevich got the majority of first-team reps opposite of Vince Williams.
And, you know, Kevin Colbert spoke to the media today, and in so many words, it's really – what he has said all off season, you know, they don't believe they want to find out more about Matakevich. They don't think he got a fair shake, suffering that injury last year. They don't know what they have in him really, because he was already injured when Ryan Shazier went down, yada, yada. But this, look, at least he's staying true to his word that they, don't forget about Tyler Matakevich, and they haven't. And it certainly does look like it's his job to lose. Now, he was asked about, what about all these veteran, unsigned free agent linebackers out there, such as Navarro Bowman? And, he didn't rule out that happening later, but he said, we're going to look at these, two guys, meaning Matakevich and Bostic. But, as I wrote that up earlier today, man, I mean, do you really want to get into a situation where you're adding a starting veteran inside linebacker week 3 of the preseason?
Right, and somebody that I would assume is supposed to be your key communicator as a three-down guy, that's a recipe for disaster. So that's the approach I think they always take. You know, they'll make some moves at the end of the preseason. I don't know where that's going to be, but you take the 90 you've rolled with, that know your system, you evaluate them in camp. If they're not up to snuff, like tight ends were last year, you make a move. But you're not going to do it today because you've got to give those guys a fair shake and see what they have.
I'm fine with – let Mattakavich – win or lose, or you know, keep the job or lose it or whatnot. But you purposely went out early in free agency and signed Bostic, right? If barring no injuries and all like that, if neither one of those guys you feel comfortable with at the end of training camp, shame on you.
Yeah. Again, my confidence in Mattakavich, I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm not at the Steelers level of confidence, or at least their outward level of confidence, where they're like, this can be the guy. You know, we got, you know, yada yada. And I'm not with the Steelers fans to say he can't play at all. Let's just see what happens. But you know, this is a team, like you said, got Bostic. They were trying to get Rashawn Evans. If Rashawn Evans was there at 28, he'd be a Steeler right now. So it's not like they're in love with Mattakavich and think that he can be a true replacement for Shazier. But again, let's give the guy a fair shake, see how the preseason goes.
And where did all the hype go on Matthew Thomas all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Thomas is, you know, running third team. I think he doesn't look totally lost, which I was kind of worried about that with him. So I think he's had a good start, you know, relatively speaking. Leslie's had it as well. Fort made some plays today. So, yeah, the linebackers are, I think, you know, are holding their own.
Okay, cornerbacks and safeties, let's combine them in one group.
Yeah, again, good days for Brian Allen, Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton's just a gamer, man. He's diving for every pass. I mean, he's laying out for everything. His run fits are solid. Again, working second team slot, third team left corner. You're getting the versatility there. Hope they get some diamond. I still have not seen diamond. I'm dying to see what they do when they roll 60 Bs on the field, and if it's going to be Edmonds or Sutton or whatever combination they roll with. So I'm curious about that. Edmonds, again, first team to replace Burnett. That bumped Dangerfield from third to second team. Got Marcus Allen a couple more snaps. Don't have a whole lot about how well they played there. And also, I guess we should note that Sean Davis has confirmed he's the free safety. Do you have any reaction to that?
It's been what the speculation has been all, you know, all off season. So, you know, he talked a little bit about his range and how he played center field in high school and how he thinks that's going to help him. But yeah, you know, it's the same old thing you and I and David Todd and whoever you're talking to all offseason. Third position in 3 years. Maybe him knowing what's going on at the other positions will help in that role, you know. But to me, it's a different vantage. People just think people move, you know. Oh, just throw throw Ryan Shazier to safety, you know. Just throw this guy from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. It's not that easy.
Even tackle, left tackle, or right tackle, not as easy as it sounds.
Right, it's just not as easy. You know, in theory, you would maybe think these guys are athletes and all, but, I mean, you're talking NFL. I think Mike Tomlin continues to downplay it a little bit. I don't know about you. I mean, how blurred are the lines between how the Steelers use their safeties, you know? I understand that the goal, yeah, I mean, look, in a perfect world, you would have two guys back there that are really interchangeable that you can't peg in certain personnel groupings or in certain formations that this guy is going to roll down and this guy is going to have to stay high because of a deficiency. In a perfect world, that's how you would like it. But we don't live in that, you know?
Right.
How many teams do we actually see be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, you'd have to have two great safeties that are capable of both, and most teams just don't have that. Steelers certainly don't.
Right. I mean, thus you end up with one primarily playing strong and in the box and another one more on a free. Now, is there situations where you're going to run too high? Yes, absolutely. Is there going to be situations where you maybe run one of them down in the slot? You know, more, yeah. But for the most part, you're going to be able to differentiate between free and strong over a season's worth, right?
Yep. And again, I think Davis has the skill set athletically to do it. I think he's showing a little bit of playmaking and processing. I just hate that you're having to move him again and stunt his growth and development, teach him a new position. You're trying to evaluate him. Do you give him 2 years? If he struggles this year, what do you do in 2019? I mean, it just creates a lot of, you know, a lot of potential problems. But, I mean, the reality is he is the best option for free safety. Burnett should not play free safety, and so – that's what the Steelers are going with.
Yeah, you want a guy that can move, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and look, I mean, the whole processing thing is going to take a little bit of time with him, I think. Seeing and getting worked by quarterback's eyes, right? You know?
Yep.
Communication is another big thing on the back end. So the more these guys can stay on the field and work together, the better, obviously, when it comes all to that. So it's going to be an interesting ride. I mean, I guess someone can say, can it get worse back there? And yeah, it can always get worse. the biggest thing I thought with Mike Mitchell was trying to cover those hole shots, right? Those hole shots down both sides. It was hard for him to get there, anything over the top and down the sides, and he just couldn't get people down on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that was definitely an issue last year. I thought just overall, not even just last year, but Mitchell was just never a big playmaker in the secondary. He was a hard hitter. I thought he took better angles than people thought. I thought he was a better tackler than people gave him credit for. I thought he was a tough guy, but he just was not going to be a guy that got you a lot in receptions, not a lot of forced fumbles, not as many pass breakups as you would like. He just didn't have that ultra playmaker for a guy in space. And I thought that was probably the biggest problem with having Mitchell at free safety.
And Robert Golden was never going to be an answer either. I mean, that guy get turned around very easy, you know. How many times have we seen him just get spun into the ground like a top? You know, you even go back to his early days. He'd lost in the end zone on you know, a couple of snaps. I think that result, well, at least one that resulted in a touchdown. I think it was against Dallas many moons ago. But he wasn't the answer. Obviously, we knew J.J. Wilcox wasn't going to be the answer. So, I mean, who's the backup free?
That's a good question. Edmonds, maybe? I don't know. Let's find. Let's see if Sean Davis can be a capable starting free safety before we get to the backups. I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something that we probably need to find out, because Burry's probably going to be better down in the box, right? Has played some free, though.
Yeah, they did some single high stuff with the Giants. I mean, maybe Burnett moves to free safety just because you're going to trust him more. You know, he's going to have the knowledge of it. But athletically, obviously, there's a challenge there.
Yeah, so that'll be, I mean, that'll be definitely something to pay attention to. Hopefully, we don't ever have to get to find out in the game. But, you know, so, like, trying to get guys to play 1,000 snaps a year at any position is asking a lot in the NFL. All right, any other thoughts on defensive backs?
Nope, I think that's about everything. Like I said yesterday, for the morning on Seagulls Depot, or for tomorrow, Saturday, I will have a depth chart of how things have gone the first 2 days, just to kind of give a clearer picture of how guys are lining up, because I know it's kind of tough to visualize when we're talking about it, but that'll be for all positions, not just the DBs.
What about the return lines? Talk about the return lines to close this up.
For the punt returners, it's mainly been Justin Thomas and Quadri Henderson. I have not seen Henderson in team drills, like, at all. I mean, I even saw Justin Thomas out there. He was working outside, not in the slot, by the way. So that's a bad sign for Henderson.
That's a horrible sign.
Just to not get that work there. But again, his work's going to have to come as a return guy. Cam Sutton's done some return stuff as well. And again, right now, emphasis on the technique and the details, and we'll see how they roll them out when the games start.
What were they doing with them soccer balls out there?
Just working on just down and punts, you know, at the goal line. I guess you can't use a football, because if you try to, like, throw a football on the ground, it's going to go 18 different directions, so they're just using the soccer balls. But yeah, Danny Smith was, they had 10 guys out for a field goal kick, and Danny Smith was none too pleased about that one. Made it known.
Chewing bubble gum and kicking ass, right?
And he was all out of bubble gum.
All out of bubble gum. Yeah. Got anything else? Any final thoughts? We'll hold off on winners and losers for a couple more days. How's that?
Even tomorrow, maybe I can have something. But again, the pads come on Saturday, which is fantastic. Now you start getting to some real evaluation. You're going to get backs on backers. You're going to get O-line, D-line. You're getting real live, you know, team drills. You're going to get some injuries. You're going to get some movement. And tomorrow, the real fun starts.
All right, how about propping up Lynn and touring plans here?
Yeah, Touring Plans is a sponsor for several years now, Lynn Testa. You can find them on Twitter. If you're planning a trip to Disney, those are the guys you want to go through to kind of make that the best experience as possible, because I know it can be chaotic trying to make a big vacation like that. Thank you to everyone who's donated. I haven't thanked anyone who's donated, I think, today. I just haven't had the chance to, but I'll try to get some thank yous out later today. And just thank you for the support from everyone on Twitter, all the kind words you guys said. It's been awesome. Camp's a great time of year, my favorite time of year. I'm sure yours as well, Dave. And just can't wait to get back out to camp tomorrow.
Yeah, it takes me a little time to get back into these 22-hour days, but I think I'm there now. I got like 2-3 hours of sleep last night, and
that's normal for you. Though,
oh yeah, it? Yeah. I got that CPAP machine, and I don't think it matters because I don't.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using.
You got to sleep for a CPAP machine to help, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I got plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead, I guess. I don't know, but. yeah, great job, Alex. Like I said, for me to be able to rattle off a play like that, you'd be able to quickly look at your notes and say what the formation, what the personnel grouping is. That kind of stuff's great. And I don't know about you, this first preseason game, we're gonna tear that thing to shreds, and I'll probably watch that thing 40 times. after it gets played. So definitely can't wait for that as well too. They'll be in pads on Saturday. Alex Cazora will be there at St. Vincent College again. He'll have a report later like this later in the day, and then we'll follow that up with a podcast. A big shout out to brother Tim Rice as well too, taking some amazing photos. He's easy to find on Twitter as well too, and I think he's got another gallery coming for me tonight from the Friday action as well too. Alex, I appreciate all of your help and all your work, and we'll get back after it again tomorrow night. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex Cazora on Twitter at Alex_Cazora. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And that's got it. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. Thanks for listening. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and tonight, Alex Cazora. Good night.